Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tomorrow, division rivals square off as the Colts and Titans battle for first place in the AFC South. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video.
What happens when you like everything about a team except their quarterback? That's the Colts for me. I like their GM. I like their coach. I like their offensive line. I like Darius Leonard.
It means they're maybe a year away.
That's right. They're a Sam Darnold away or something away. Like the Colts are a great example. You can do everything right in this league. They've drafted well, smart with free agency. I think they got the right code. O-line's terrific. If you don't get the quarterback right, there's just limitations. That's the reality of this league. With that, Peter King is now joining us. Football Morning in America, NBCSports.com. So I told Joy this. I watched Tua and Kyler Murray. Best football game I've watched this year, college or pro. Could not take my eyes off it. And you had an interesting take on it that we may never see them again. I mean, and you think they should play more often.
It's insane that Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa are not scheduled to play until the next United States presidential campaign in the fall of 2024. I've long been critical of the NFL's schedule, particularly how the NFL basically ignores great AFC versus NFC matchups and, you know, allows them to be played only once every 4 years. So to me, what the NFL needs to do is to take that 17th game that they're going to start playing next year and use it, put it in the hands of Howard Katz, the schedule meister, and the people at the top of the NFL, and say to those people and to the television networks, we are going to give you 6 or 8 games every year that are going to be just prizes.
Yeah.
That are going to get great ratings and are going to be great for the fans. Tua and Kyler playing once every 4 years, that's, I don't want to say it's a sin, it's awful.
Yeah, no, it was so much fun. You know, I was saying this yesterday, is that when Brady left New England, there were signs he sold his house in August. But I think 75-80% of sports fans, myself included, thought he would just stick it out, ride it out, 2 years, blah, 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 he left. And I said to myself, in 1 year, exit strategies, it's a science. It's a skill to be able to exit at the right time, right? In 1 year, Belichick will have to face Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, maybe a great young offensive coach, and Trevor Lawrence, and Tua and Brian Flores, and he doesn't have a quarterback, and I don't think they're getting one of the better ones in the draft. And I said to myself, you can't win in this league without a quarterback. Belichick's winning percentage is 43%. Pete Carroll fired twice before they got a quarterback. Go to the Jaguars, get Justin Fields. They'll let you run the whole thing. Go to the Chargers, who can't sell tickets, and get Justin Herbert. And I don't think it's crazy that we just saw Brady leave, and we're all shocked. Bill Belichick, Chargers, Jags, I know this. I saw Coughlin go. I saw Parcells go. Get to warm weather. No more Nantucket. No more Boston winners. Is it crazy to think Bill would be like, listen, I'm going to make a move. I want a quarterback, and I don't know how to get one. Is it crazy?
I mean, look, it's not impossible. If Bill Belichick wants to go and is strident enough about it with Robert Kraft, I could see it happening, but I have no idea what's going on in Bill Belichick's head. I've not heard one indication that he's interested in leaving. And that is, look, remember, Colin, Tom Brady would not have left Foxborough if it were up to Robert Kraft, okay? Robert Kraft did not want Tom Brady to go. And even though I think he probably has some tussles with Bill Belichick occasionally, he doesn't want Bill Belichick to go either. So in my opinion, I think this is... it's an interesting talk show topic, but I don't know if there are many seeds of truth to it or even seeds of possibility to it.
You know, we always call it Overreaction Monday. Are we overreacting to AB joining the Buccaneers and Tom having his worst game ever? Do we take anything out of it other than, hey, it happens, it's a bad Sunday? Or should we go, okay, biggest game of the year, First five possessions, three and out. They looked like they were forcing the ball downfield. Is there something there or not?
The protection of Tom Brady was the worst by far by the Tampa Bay offensive line the entire year. Drew Brees, and I mean, Drew Brees completed passes to 11 different receivers in the first 20 minutes. Tampa Bay could not figure out the New Orleans passing attack. And so I think it's easy to say, yeah, Brady's done. We had a nice run while it went. But this is Tom Brady was besieged play after play after play from what I saw on Sunday.
So I am now on an island by myself defending Carson Wentz. Last 12 games, he's won or tied eight with chaotic injuries. I am told you think now you are no longer defending Carson Wentz, who plays Sunday against the improved Giants.
It's not like I would trade him or I would bench him. You know, first of all, you can't trade him. The trading deadline's over. You got to keep playing him and see if he will come out of this. But Colin, facts are facts. I mean, somehow, some way, this is a guy who's a 64% career passer coming into this year, who's now at 58. He's turning the ball over at a Jameis-like frequency. He's got 16 turnovers in eight games. He's not the Carson Wentz that he was in the magic year of 2017 or when he's been very good since. He looks uncertain. He looks very unsure of himself when I watch him. And he's got to play himself out of this. But, I mean, I can't sit here and say, yep, absolutely, Carson Wentz, a top 10 quarterback. I mean, this is not two or three games we're talking about. You know, Josh Allen played four lousy games in weeks 5 through 8 or whatever it was. And he played four great games early and then another great game on Sunday. So I only say that because I'm not saying this is forever. But the majority of time, Carson Wentz this year has played lousy.
So you and I were talking during the break is that I honestly feel like in my lifetime, and I started saying this about 2 years ago, I've never seen more great quarterback play early. I don't know if there's almost no teams. Even the Jets, Darnold, I think, has talent. Gardner Minshew has won games. Go back to the years you've been covering this. I don't even think was there an era where quarterback play was close to this good?
Well, you know, when you first ask the question, you start to think of kind of the late 80s.
Right.
As Elway and Marino are in their primes and you got Montana. And so maybe you got three top 10 quarterbacks of all time playing simultaneously. And so that was a great era, but I don't think there's any way it was as deep as it is today. I think this is the deepest I've seen the quarterback position in my years covering football for a very simple reason. When you look at it, you look at a time currently, where even the bad teams, I mean, most of the bad teams, have a good shot at having their future quarterback. Look, the New York Jets could decide. I wouldn't be shocked if they decide at the end of this year, whoever gives us three ones for our pick, we'll take it because we love Sam Darnold. And a lot of people would say, oh my God, that's idiotic. I'm not sure it's idiotic. Sam Darnold is good. He's got a horrible supporting cast.
Yeah.
What makes you think it's going to be automatically better as soon as Trevor Lawrence walks in the door? So yeah. I agree. I think the depth of good quarterbacking is solid.
It's funny. I was telling Chris Spielman an hour ago, the Giants are the greatest 2-7 team in the history of the league. I've watched them five times live. They won two of them and should have won the other three. And I sat there and I thought, I didn't know anything about Joe Judge. And I had my doubts about Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman. 1 year ago, 6 months ago, I'm like, yeah, I don't know Judge. I don't love Daniel Jones and Gettleman. Now I look and I think Gettleman had a good draft. Daniel Jones cut out one turnover a game. And Joe Judge is the Brian Flores of last year. They are better every Sunday. I got to tell you something. I look at the New York Giants today and I'm like, is it nuts they could win this division. That's the best defense I've seen in that division.
They could.
I think that it sounds crazy.
They could win the division, Colin. I'll tell you what will make the difference, I think, is going to be Carson Wentz versus Daniel Jones. I really do. I think that is going to tell the tale. Now, the Giants have some catching up to do, and they're a terribly inconsistent offense. And they had one good day on Sunday. But just remember, we're only, 10 days away, 10 days removed from Daniel Jones handing Bruce Arians a victory on Monday Night Football. Look, this was the first time this past Sunday that Daniel Jones played a football game out of, 21 in his career that he didn't either fumble or throw an interception. So let's give him some time. You know, Dave Gettleman is 11-30 as a general manager. And I realize some of that's unfair, but life is unfair sometimes too. 11-30 is not going to cut it. They got to play well down the stretch.
Yeah, Sunday could start it because the Eagles aren't explosive enough to blow anybody out. It's a field goal game either way. Peter King, NBCSports.com. As always, Peter, great having you on the show. Thanks.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. CarShield.com, code HERD, 10% off. Deductible may apply. A lot of driving these days, staycations, holidays coming up. CarShield.com. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the HERD Line News.
The NBA season starts in a little bit over a month from now, so trade rumors are starting to swirl. And according to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, a big star could be on the trade block.
It is interesting. The last 24 hours, I did have multiple sources that I trust tell me that teams believe Russell Westbrook could be had. That Westbrook could be had. And I've heard the Clippers have interest. I've heard the Knicks have interest. And Westbrook, and whether anything materializes there, who knows?
Clippers.
Who knows? But the fact is that there is a belief that a guy like Westbrook could become available.
You like any of those landing spots?
Clippers sounds like overreacting to last year's playoff loss. That's what it sounds like.
Clippers feels a little aggressive. Makes sense.
Oh, and the Knicks just want to be interesting. He'd make them interesting. They don't have any talent. So, Knicks just need anybody.
Well, he did average 27 points, almost 8 rebounds, and 7 assists this year.
Yeah, he can play.
And he is a star.
Oh, no question.
I think he would do well with the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are what the Knicks are, obviously. I think that's going to kind of just continue, as you said, in your pyramid for success for the NFL. I think applies to pretty much all organizations, except for you need 2 stars these days in the NBA instead of a quarterback. And it starts with ownership in New York. But the Clippers doesn't really feel like that would be the right fit. It doesn't surprise me that there are a lot of conversations being had about moving Westbrook and Harden, though.
Well, that didn't work. The Clippers were a chemistry miss. I don't think Westbrook's a chemistry fixer. So there are people that you could move to the Clippers. The Clippers just run the same guys back. The Lakers will be older. AD gets hurt a lot. Like, it's one of those things, like, just you don't have to make a move. I mean, Paul George, here's the key. Just don't depend on Paul George as much. Kawhi you can depend on. You're probably best served if you're the Clippers. Just run it back and see what you get. Still very good roster.
The Clippers had a chemistry issue last year.
No question.
I just think that all of the NBA is going to look very different this year. Like, the season's starting up again December 22nd. Reminder.
Oh, my God.
Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving going to be back for the Nets. Reminder, Golden State Warriors back healthy again. The Heat have another year. The Lakers actually are the team I have the most questions about, because the Heat running it back after such a short amount of time off doesn't really concern me because their team is incredibly young.
Right.
The Lakers, LeBron James, they're not excited about getting back at it in less than a month.
No, I think it's fair. I don't think the Lakers will be a number one seed. I just think it's the Clippers should have beaten Denver. They had huge leads to wrap that series up and didn't. I don't think you should be Paul George. They relied a little too much on Paul in fourth quarters, but outside of that, it's pretty much a really good team, a really well-constructed roster.
The Clippers do not have a vocal leader. They clearly weren't interested in what Paul George had
to say.
Well,
then Westbrook's
and
not that.
Kawhi Leonard is not that. And no, I don't think Westbrook is
that. Westbrook's the best friend's the ball. He said that. So I don't think he's a vocal.
I just... I don't know. The Clippers need a piece, and maybe it's Ty Lue. Like, maybe it's just that they need it.
How about this one? What they need is Chris Paul. You want a vocal leader? You want a face of the franchise, Clippers?
Yeah, but I don't think they can afford him.
Well, Paul George leaves, Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. I don't know. If you're looking for a vocal leader.
It's all relationship stuff at that point, though. When you're talking about Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Chris Paul, same thing with Devin Booker and this Chris Paul to the Suns. Like, everybody's got to get along.
Chris Paul loves L.A. He didn't want to leave.
But you're not getting rid of Kawhi Leonard, so.
No. You're not getting rid of Paul. I'm just saying, if Paul George isn't the alpha you want and Kawhi's not verbal, I know who's verbal, Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Chris Paul and Kawhi, if you take Paul George out, put Chris Paul in this morning, who's favored to win the championship? Feels like the Clippers to me.
I want to see this version of the Clippers run it
all
back
right,
one more time.
All right.
So Raheem Morris is making a strong bid for the Falcons' full-time head coaching job. Owner Arthur Blank talked about how Morris will be in the running for the position.
I don't think we should make a head coach selection or GM selection based on the color of somebody's skin. Raheem will be looked at as any other coach will be. And I've known him for a long time. He's a good guy. He's got a lot of credentials. He's not the same man he was when he was 32 and he became a head coach. You know, 12 years later, he's matured a good bit. I think he's had a lot of great experiences, and I think he's learned a lot. And I wish him all the success he can possibly have for his benefit and for our benefit.
Well, the Falcons are 3-1 since Morris replaced Dan Quinn as the head coach, who was fired after starting 0-5. He went 17-31 in his three seasons as the Bucs head coach from 2009 to 2011. That was a while ago. With Quinn, weeks 1-5, the Falcons ranked 20th in points per game, 11th in total yards per game, 30th for points allowed per game, and 31st in total yards per game allowed. Since week 6, the Falcons rank 7th in points per game, 7th in total yards per game since week 6. 10th in points per game allowed and 19th in total yards allowed since week 6. So they have taken a dramatic turn since the Dan Quinn fire.
I think there's a chance he gets hired. It does depend on what's on the market. If I'm trying to think of the market, what is the market? There's a couple coordinators, one in Buffalo and one in Kansas City. I don't see a college guy getting fired or leaving. I don't think it's a robust market, so if it's not, you probably go with a guy the players like who won at the end of a year. I mean, again, they have how many more games they have? If they go, you know, Atlanta's the kind of team offensively, they can win. I mean, you watch that Denver game for the first three quarters, it's like, oh, that's a playoff team. Atlanta never struggles to score. They just can't stop anyone, or they can't
close the game out. Yes. Right. The interesting thing that Joel Klatt mentioned earlier with us with Atlanta is, you know, they're stuck with Matt Ryan.
Like, for 2 years minimum.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get a college guy unless you're going through, you know, someone who's really not supposed to be in that position to begin with to get an NFL head coaching job. Because why would someone leave a college position where you have a legacy position, you're going to make the same amount of money, and you're likely not going to be there 2 or 3 years from now because you have Matt Ryan, and that's just what it is. Like, they can't take the salary cap hit, and no one's going to pay for Matt Ryan at this point. So they're not going to be getting a young new quarterback to rebuild the franchise with. So the Falcons kind of are what they are, copy and paste for the next couple years. So Browns wide receiver Odell is on the road to recovery, the team said yesterday. The Browns announced that Beckham had a successful surgery for the torn ACL that ended his 2020 season. They put out a statement. Odell Beckham Jr. underwent successful surgery to repair his ACL in his left knee. This surgery was performed earlier today by Dr. James Andrews at the Andrews Institute for Orthopedics and Sports Medicine in Pensacola, Florida.
How old is Dr. James Andrews?
Beckham is expected to be ready for the 2021 season.
Goulet, can you look that up? That and the hockey scores. How old is Dr. James Andrews? He's been doing these surgeries for 50 years. He's 78 and still performing surgery. You're not allowed to fly a plane after 65 for a major airline.
Listen, at that point, it should be like signing your name if you've been doing ACL surgeries for that long.
Can you imagine if I'm doing this show in 23 years, I'm still hosting this show?
I mean, do what
How gray can my hair get?
I think you're going to want to be skiing or at least sitting in the lodge full time by that point.
Totally. I love what I do for a living, but 78 years old and doing surgery. Tip of the cap to Dr. James Andrews. Way to go. That's unbelievable.
A lifetime of surgeries. Odell also posted on social media as well. He said, sit back, relax, and watch how God works. Now let's let the journey begin. The rehab for ACL is brutal.
Is it?
I mean, look, I wasn't a professional athlete when I had to go through it, but it's just, you have to learn how to walk again. It's really awful.
I don't think I have an ACL. Because I don't, I've never torn it or even felt it.
That generally means it's healthy.
Okay. I have not pulled any ligament. I don't work hard enough. That's, you know, this is why I'm not a doctor. It's probably.
That's why.
I had a calf muscle once that hurt for about 2 weeks, and that's only identifiable muscle I have.
Well, that's good.
There you go. No, joy
no
of the news.
Ligament tears.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
My mid-season NFL awards, a little different than most coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, I'm Major Carla Jones. I'm the Brigade S1 for the 101st Division Sustainment Brigade based out of Camp Arif John, Kuwait. I'd like to give a shout out to my mom, dad, Gary and Linda Bender, as well as my husband, Mackenzie Jones. I love you. I miss you. Happy Veterans Day. Go Titans!
We're getting Seahawk and Titan fans. Well, I'm not a big fan of the MVP awards. I thought today, Joey, I'd give my mid-season awards. Everybody in the NFL has played at least 8 games. And these are the non-traditional awards, and I think they deserve some credit just beyond MVP. And I'm not into the Heisman MVP. How about some unique awards? Here we go.
All right, the best performance without a supporting cast. The nominees are Joe Burrow, Kyle Shanahan, Wentz, or Russell Wilson.
With deep consideration for all four, I choose Joe Burrow. On pace to break Andrew Luck's rookie passing record. Second most sacked quarterback in the league, 28 sacks. Also the most hit quarterback in the league, yet tied for the most 300-plus yard passing games in the entire NFL this year with 5, Joe Burrow.
Should have retired Bill Belichick, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, or Philip Rivers?
The winner, regrettably, is Philip Rivers. 24th ranked passer rating of 33 qualified quarterbacks. Last week, trying to make a tackle after an interception sealed it. A humiliating effort, Philip Rivers.
The most disappointing bird, Eagles, Falcons, or Seahawks defense?
Sorry, Atlanta, it's the Falcons. You've burned me so many times. The first team in NFL history to lose multiple games in a season, multiple, with a 15-plus lead in the fourth quarter. Atlanta, be proud.
It's something. Best quarterback who can't rent a car. Means they're under 25. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, or Lamar Jackson.
Not an easy one. I'm going to go with the surprise pick, Justin Herbert. Listen to this. Most passing yards by any quarterback in the first 7 games of his career in league history. He has the only rookie quarterback to average 300-plus yards a game ever as a rookie. Nobody's ever done that. He's tied for the most 50-plus yard receptions. And this is with an offensive line that's been hit or miss. I think he is the shock of the NFL quarterback season. The absolute shock.
The quarterback who needs a realtor. Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, Jimmy Garoppolo, or Dak Prescott?
We all need a good realtor. Nobody more than Jimmy Garoppolo. The other ones have their issues, but Jimmy's coach has lost his trust, and he's got the fewest 20-plus yard completions among all qualified quarterbacks this year. That is with Debo. That is with George Kittle. That is with Brandon Ayuk. I don't push the ball down the field.
Best bad team, Falcons, Giants, Panthers, or Vikings?
This is a tough one, but I haven't given them any love, and they deserve a little. How about the Panthers? A bunch of close losses against good teams. And here's where I want to give them credit. 4 games this year with 400-plus total yards of offense. So whereas the Giants are the best 2-7 team I've ever seen, They're not wildly interesting. Carolina's a good watch. Bad, but really competitive.
Worst Packers draft pick. Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon, Josiah DeGarda, or all of the above?
It deeply hurts A.J. Dillon. Here's my issue. They've already got Jamal Williams as a backup. And Aaron Jones, they didn't need to draft another running back. They've got two studs. Jordan Love could be good, but, you know, he's developing. I get that. I don't understand it. He didn't have a touchdown. He's rushed the ball 25 times. He got 90 yards. They didn't need a running back.
Best expatriate, Tom Brady, Brian Flores, Mike Vrabel.
Easy for me, Brian Flores. Last 17 games. This is a rebuild. Last 17 games, a rebuild and switching quarterbacks. He's 10-7. He's a really good football coach. They play hard, both sides, every play.
Worst expatriate, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien.
I don't think this is terribly difficult. Matt Patricia wore his hat on backwards. First game, turned me off. Listen, it's you got to win games. He's 12-27, and I think we all acknowledge Matt Stafford's pretty talented. And I don't think it's a great division right now. I think Green Bay is a finesse team that's beatable. Chicago can't get quarterback right. Minnesota struggled defensively this year. It's just not working.
All right, best commercial, Bill Belichick, Subway, Baker Mayfield, Progressive, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers for State Farm, or the Watt brothers for Subway.
Baker Mayfield.
Mm.
I think he and his beautiful wife, Emily, are actually very funny. He's really a very funny actor.
Is that how you carry your groceries in?
Yes. It is, actually. I've said this before. If he'd have done these after he's got a bunch of wins, he'd be a legend. It's just he's doing them before, but he's actually great on his commercials. They're all funny. He hasn't had a bad commercial yet. He's really good at it.
These are very relatable.
No, he's totally his commercial. His wife's cute. Stadium. He's funny. He's really, really good at it. There you go. Our midseason awards.
I like those.
RecTechForTheQ.com. Built by grillers for grillers. Smart grill technology. Turn it on and off. Drive into your grill. RecTechForTheQ.com. For Joey and John and everybody. See you tomorrow. It's The Herd.